Pablo for breakfast. Get it when you want with the best bits plus new stuff you haven't heard. Download the Listener app now.
On a Friday, we like to get our TV movie recommendations for the weekend with King of the Nerds, Adam Ross. Adam, good morning.
Good to be here, Pablo.
Now, when this story was unfolding in real time, it captivated the world. And it's now been turned into a movie, 13 Lives, about the boys that were rescued in the caves. It was a fascinating real-life experience that the world went through. Does it shape up nicely on screen?
Look, this is a fantastic film. It is directed by Ron Howard himself. So, you know, this film's got an enormous pedigree, right? So you got Ron behind the lens here, you got Viggo Mortensen, you got Colin Farrell, and you got Joel Edgerton as this, you know, trio of some of the bravest men that have ever lived. This dramatization of this Thai rescue is enormously effective. It has some of the most claustrophobic scenes probably ever committed to film. The only problem that this film has is not even the film's problem. It's that the documentary The Rescue came out recently, right? And so if you have familiarized yourself with that, look, if you do this as a double feature, you basically will be a scholar on this case, right? But the only thing is, like, and this is a really weird thing to do that I do for audiences, I would recommend don't watch the documentary first. Watch this dramatization, because this, you know, in this, the truth is stranger than fiction, right? You know, like, you can't believe not only the perseverance that these people had, but the plan that they enacted to extract these boys just beggars belief. And you know, Howard is really he's being very subtle here. It's really like, you know, there is no real showiness here. There's no kind of American heroics, you know, that you would normally associate maybe with a picture that he might direct. This is just matter of fact recreation, incredibly authentic and deeply moving. It's a really, really solid film on Amazon.
Now, Nope is at the cinema.
Yeah, look, now Nope is definitely going to be one of the biggest cinematic talking points for the year. This is by Jordan Peele, who gave us Get Out and Us. I am slowly but surely not getting on the Jordan train. Now, he makes films that are deeply interesting. I cannot deny that whatsoever. And this is true mystery box theatre. So effectively, we've seen a teaser trailer, which has got a cloud, which is some kind of like ribbon hanging out of it. And what is in the cloud? We don't know. All it's saying is saying nope about that. So is it about UFOs? Is it an Area 51 movie? What is up in the cloud? And so Jordan slowly reveals what is in the cloud in this film. And it is beautifully shot. I can't argue that. And it does have some truly original ideas, but his films are very shaggy. And I think that the audience is almost a secondary consideration for him. He's being compared to Steven Spielberg in the sense of discovery and wonder in his filmmaking, but Spielberg always knew that he served the audience and he would have made a much more user-friendly film than this. This film, like Us before it, is littered with a huge amount of symbolism, but unless you go home and you spend 3 hours on YouTube figuring out what Jordan's trying to sell you, you don't know. And the thing is, with a lot of this symbolism, it's not universal, it's stuff that Jordan just cares about. And I find that to be personally really indulgent. And I found a bunch of kind of modern auteurs like Christopher Nolan with Tenet and Quentin Tarantino with, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they're becoming increasingly insular in what they're making, and it's just for them. And if the audience happens to like it, at, you know, just by accident, then that's kind of a happy accident. And I don't really particularly like that kind of filmmaking. So Nope is a definitely interesting film, but be prepared to see something very weird and something kind of, you know, really shaggy and, I don't know, ramshackle.
Now, I watched this during the week, Trainwreck Woodstock 99. It is a fascinating documentary on the behind the scenes and what happened at that concert. And I thought a really interesting snapshot of the late 90s, the music scene and also bro culture. What did you think?
Oh, completely. I think that this is, once again, another fascinating documentary on Netflix that really captures the zeitgeist of a certain period of time. Mm. And I was watching this with a friend of mine who basically is revolted by Korn and Limp Bizkit and all these things, right? And doesn't consider that to be real music. Now, the thing that's really fascinating, I guess, about the generational change of music is that it's always really hard to pass that baton. You know, like, I mean, I remember putting on music and my father would be like, he could tell me what it was influenced by and he thought it was reductive and it wasn't as good. And so I guess Trainwreck does this really amazing thing of just showcasing how powerful this music really was. You know, like, I mean, look, Rage Against the Machine is, you know, a cerebral, you know, political band, and you could never level that accusation at Limp Bizkit. But what Trainwreck does effectively is shows how rousing that heavy music could be. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a music teacher recently, and I kind of just couldn't believe that in the late 90s, how heavy mainstream music really was. So, like, you know, I mean, mean, the top five albums that would be, you know, in popular sales would be things like System of a Down, Korn, you know, like, I mean, they were enormously heavy, heavier than music had ever been, you know, like in terms of popular music. And so when you add that kind of, you know, powder keg to this, you know, to a really unsophisticated crowd, you know, and we have come in leaps and bounds of how we behave in public, about accountability, about, you know, trying to unpack, you know, sexism and that behavior, that hadn't come yet. And so watching this, it's kind of a mortifying, you know, like time capsule of when people just didn't give a shit. And it's, you know, I'm glad I wasn't there. In a lot of ways, it looks really hazardous for your health. But yeah, as a testament to enormous hubris, yeah, this thing is truly a train wreck to behold.
Now, me and you were texting yesterday about this one. We both sat on the couch, indulged in this one. I mean, the title grabs you right from the start. On Netflix, I Just Killed My Dad, another deep dive into true crime. And it's a pretty incredible watch on Netflix, this doco.
Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, you know, we're going through one of these once a week. We're going to probably have PTSD by the end of the year. But this filmmaker, Sky Borgman, who has now made Abducted in Plain Sight, The Girl in the Picture, and now this, I Just Killed My Dad, I truly think is a really, you know, curious documentary filmmaker, in the way that I don't know where she is finding these stories, but she gets a singular incident at the start, which is pretty, you know, commonplace for true crime. But what she unearths in her documentaries has me going, you know, WTF about four times an episode. I don't know how she knows when she pulls at these threads what she's going to uncover, because it's always honestly so mortifying that I can't even believe how cooked these narratives are. I mean, it's got the prerequisite slickness of a Netflix documentary. Like, you know, there's great talking heads. She manages to get all the principles. But the way that she unspools more and more chaos and depravity in these series, that, yeah, I mean, I go and have a really long shower after most episodes of these things. But, I mean, and this one too as well, like, you know, I mean, this Anthony Templay and being involved in this scuffle and, you know, and doing this possibly self-defense murder of his father seems pretty straightforward, but it's anything but by the time that you arrive at the end of this documentary. But, yeah, I mean, really fascinating stuff.
My wife happened to be downstairs making a cup of tea while the opening sort of scenes were playing out. She's just simply looked at me and said, "How do you watch this stuff?" and walked out. So this is one maybe only the fellas could enjoy, but it's an incredible watch if you love your true crime. Adam, it's always good to chat, and we'll catch up again next week.
No worries. Thanks, Pablo.
It's the podcast for Karratha, the Pablo for Breakfast podcast, streaming now on the Listener app.